Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I am Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
We are talking about another series of programs on Animal Planet. Mm-hmm. This one is entitled A Wonderfully Weird World,
okay?
Or Nature's Weirdest Events. Uh-huh. That's the actual name of the program. But our article is entitled A Wonderfully Weird World. And, yeah, I like the world being weird because if the world were not weird, boy, it wouldn't be interesting, would it?
No, it makes life very interesting. I have some wonderfully weird friends. Yeah. Mm. Tom, you're kind of wonderfully weird.
Weird, yeah. Well, you don't want to be too weird because people think you're kind of crazy or something.
We do think you're crazy.
A lot of people do, but hopefully you don't think I'm going to hurt you or
anything like that.
But yeah, you can't be too weird. But unfortunately, though, sometimes there are people who are too weird and you want to stay away from them. But there are a lot of strange and weird and unusual things that are happening in the world. And we're going to be talking about them in this program, Nature's Weirdest Events. It's a new program, and it's got a number of episodes that will introduce you to some weird things that are going on in the world. So let's talk about some of those things right now. Here comes our article read from top to bottom. Nature has its different faces. At times, it is a wonderland where we marvel at its stunning scenery and fascinating wildlife. However, sometimes something truly bewildering throws us for a loop. Animal Planet's new program, Nature's Weirdest Events, aims to describe and explain some of these eerie incidents using historical records, eyewitness testimonies, and expert analysis. In this five-part series, Animal Planet proves that sometimes the truth genuinely is stranger than fiction. The first stop is Rotterdam in the Netherlands, where giant silk webs once covered an entire street and everything else on the street as well. Trees, benches, and even cars were tangled in strong, sticky caterpillars' webs. Dr. Ray Barnett sheds some light on the mysterious blanket of silk. It appears that the leaves of the trees lining the street were the favorite meal of a species of ermine moth. Once the ermine moth caterpillars were born, they spun gigantic webs around the trees. One mystery is solved, but can Barnett explain why the caterpillars concealed everything else on the street as well? These harmless caterpillars are more of a nuisance than anything else, but the next creature inspires true terror. Nicknamed the Tongue Biter, this creepy crawly is actually an isopod. Like something out of a nightmare, it swims inside the gills of a fish and finds its way into the fish's mouth. Donna Corley from London, UK, recalls the day she discovered one of these bizarre creatures staring back at her from the inside of a fish's mouth. "I was absolutely shocked," she says. Indeed, what it does after it enters the fish's mouth is bound to leave you speechless.
Okay, guys, we're going to get started on our Animal Planet unit. A wonderfully weird world. Nature does have different faces, doesn't it?
It does.
So, at times, it's a wonderland where we marvel at its stunning scenery and fascinating wildlife. Before we go on and talk about one of its different faces, let's look at this particular face or how it appears to us sometimes. If it's a wonderland, it's almost like...Oh, I don't know, Disneyland or something wonderful. So Wonderland is just a really great place, a land or a place full of wonderful things. You could say London was a wonderland of historical sites. New York, at least in the Broadway district, is a wonderland of musical theater and dramas that you can go and see when you're there. So it can be a wonderland where you really do marvel at its beautiful scenery. It's something stunning. It's so beautiful that you're almost speechless. Wow, you know?
Yeah, in just a month, we're going to sing a song. It's beautiful sight. We're walking tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Or is it Wonder World?
No, it's Wonderland.
I got it right.
Yeah, you did. I love that song.
Well, in any case here, yes, nature sometimes is a wonderland. We can marvel at its stunning scenery. And we can also marvel at its fascinating wildlife. So in this sentence, we have the verb phrase to marvel at something, which means you are filled with wonder and astonishment or surprise or joy at something.
Yeah.
I marveled at the scenery of Taroko Gorge the first time I saw it. It was so spectacular.
It's beautiful.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
And yes, indeed, nature or the world has stunning scenery that we can marvel at. We can also marvel at the fascinating wildlife of the world. Yes, animals, birds and turtles and frogs and cows and stuff. They all do wonderful things. They are fascinating, which means extremely interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. It's very fascinating to look at the whales swimming in the ocean.
But the next sentence in this gives us another look at nature. It says, however, here's the other side, the flip side. Sometimes something truly bewildering throws us for a loop. If something's bewildering, guys, it's a little confusing. You don't understand it. And this next phrase is something we say when we're really confused. If something throws you for a loop, you're confused, you're shocked, you're dazed, you don't know what's going on. And you could say, wow, your news really threw me for a loop. It's like someone picked you up and tossed you around. You're so confused.
Yeah, like a loop is like a circle. So just imagine somebody bewildering you or confusing you.
Your head's spinning.
Your head is spinning just like a loop or something like that.
Yeah.
So watch out for that. Yes, nature sometimes can bewilder us and it can throw us for a loop. Now, Animal Planet's new program, Nature's Weirdest Events, aims to describe and explain some of these eerie incidents using various things. So this is the new program entitled Nature's Weirdest Events, Weird Things That Happen in Nature, and it aims to describe these things. That's its goal. That's what it wants to do. It wants to show us these things, to describe them and explain them. These are eerie incidents. Eerie just means kind of strange and a little scary, actually.
Yeah, definitely a little scary. They use different historical records, so history is going to be used. They're going to also talk to eyewitnesses. If you're an eyewitness to something, you see it with your own eyes, and your testimony is what you say that you know is true. So they're going to talk to people who actually experience some of these weird or eerie incidents. And they're also going to talk to some experts for some of their analysis. Analysis is when somebody looks at something and does a lot of study of it and then comes up with some sort of report, and that's their analysis. So it's a detailed examination of something, and it's their interpretation of something as an expert.
That's right. Analysis, that's the noun. To analyze is the verb. So experts are going to analyze these weird things and give us their final analysis, their conclusions. Now, in this five-part series, Animal Planet proves that sometimes the truth genuinely is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, indeed, we have different genres in writing. We have nonfiction and we have fiction. Fiction means they just made it up. So sometimes we think the truth is, truth is kind of boring, and the fiction is actually quite creative. But in this particular case, truth is actually stranger than fiction. The truth sometimes can actually be really, really weird, even weirder than anybody can imagine.
Yeah, genuine. If something's genuine, it's real. Here, genuinely can also mean truly what is said or what's there. So it's really, really stranger than fiction. You should all know that this is a very popular phrase. Truth is stranger than fiction. We're simply adding this adjective genuinely. It really is. It's sincerely stranger than fiction in this particular program that Animal Planet put together.
It sure is.
Where's the first place we're going, Tom?
We're going to the Netherlands, or Holland, as you call it here in Taiwan. Netherlands is actually a country that includes Holland and, Friesland and some other smaller areas.
Oh.
But Rotterdam is a city in the Netherlands. And in this particular place, giant silk webs once covered an entire street and everything else on the street as well. You know spiders, right?
Yeah.
They make these webs. They're called spider webs or sometimes cobwebs.
Uh-huh.
And they're considered to be made of silk. Spiders and caterpillars can make silk. which is actually used to make clothing sometimes, some nice clothes.
Beautiful clothing.
The Chinese discovered silk, of course. And these were webs that were made of silk, and they covered the entire street. Ooh, that sounds so gross.
Gross.
I hate it when I run into a spider web. It's the most gross thing that could ever happen. You're afraid the spider is going to get on you and bite you and stuff like that. Ugh, a spider web. Ugh, gross.
It's a little sticky, too, right? Because they spin their webs to catch bugs and other things so they can eat them.
Disgusting.
So trees, benches, and even cars were tangled in strong, sticky caterpillars' webs. Ugh. If you're tangled, it means you're kind of in a mess. For example, we use the verb tangled or the adjective tangled to talk about our hair sometimes. It gets all twisted together and sometimes it's in a knot and it's hard to comb it. I have very curly hair and when my hair gets twisted, it actually is in a knot. So it's kind of a mess. Everybody thinks I have a perm. I do not.
And they're probably very jealous of you.
Of natural curly hair.
Most of women in Taiwan have straight hair, and they often get it permed to be curly like your hair.
I want straight hair, though, Tom.
True, yes. There's, you know, the downside of curly hair because it becomes tangled very easily after the shower or after a rainstorm or whatever. So, yes, tangled. These webs were tangled, and all these things were tangled in the web from these sticky caterpillars or the webs from caterpillars. A caterpillar. Caterpillar, of course, is a bug that later changes into a butterfly.
Cool.
Sticky, of course, is something that doesn't move away from the surface easily. Mm. Moji is kind of sticky, right?
Honey.
Honey's sticky. Exactly.
Glue.
Other things are quite sticky. You don't want to get them on your
hands
because it's really hard to wash those things off.
Gum.
And, yeah, gum is sticky. Yeah, don't remind me of all these sticky things. In fact, we've got so much stuff stuck on our fingers right now, we need to take a little bit of a time out here to get them off. So while we do that, we will listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们看的是第十一单元。今天的节目内容呢是跟电视节目有关。大家如果有看 Animal Planet, 动物星球频道的话，也许你会对这个节目有兴趣。这个节目叫做 Nature's Wildest Events。我们中文把它翻成大自然怪事。好，那我们就先看一下哦。这个节目呢，当然是跟大自然有关，不过有时候大自然界啊，它会有很多事让你觉得，哇，真的令人着迷。不过，除了令人着迷之外呢，它有时候也可能是 bewildering。好，这个 bewildering 就是令你感到很困惑的，换句话说是 very confusing。你可能会想不通为什么。那在这个 bewildering 后面，它 throws us for a loop。它用到了这个片语。好，那这个片语其实很特别，它的意思呢，就是说好像让你吓了一跳，你想都没有想到。所以这个节目内容其实就是有这样的性质，因为它所介绍的每一个现象，可能都是你没想到会大吃一惊的事情。好咯，那我们看这个节目，它后面有提到说，整个节目有 five parts, 所以它是 a five part series, 这是一个五集的一个系列节目。那我们就要来看看节目有哪些内容。好，下面这一段呢，它就说到，第一个要说给大家听的是在荷兰的鹿特丹。好，提到荷兰鹿特丹，然后你后面有一个逗点，然后写 where。我们呢常常会把这种逗点后面的 where 加的关系子句呢拿出来提，主要是因为我们在判断用关系代名词还是关系副词的时候，一定要想一想。像这边也是一样，逗点当然这里因为是一个专有名词，谈鹿特丹，而说到这边呢，它发生什么事？哦，你这个在这里 in this place, 你就是因为有 in which 这样子的感觉，所以这边用的是关系副词 where。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson. Again, we're talking about a TV show on Animal Planet entitled Nature's Weirdest Events. And we began to introduce you to something that was happening in Rotterdam, which is a city in the Netherlands. At one time, the entire street there, or an entire street there, was covered with silk webs from these caterpillars. Why did they do that? What are caterpillars doing? Why don't they just, create butterflies or whatever? But we've got a doctor here, an expert, who's giving us his expert analysis, Dr. Ray Barnett, or Barnet. He sheds some light on the mysterious blanket of silk. Okay, so to shed light on something means to give us some information about something that is kind of difficult to understand or it's kind of a mystery. So maybe, if we, talk to a psychic or something, maybe they can shed some light on that crime, who did it, or maybe someone can shed some light on the Tang Dynasty. I don't really understand what happened then, so I need someone to teach me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we'll often see that phrase to shed some light on something that's a little bit mysterious or difficult to understand. It appears that the leaves of the trees lining the street were the favorite meal of a species of ermine moth. Okay. So if trees are lining a street, it means there are trees on either side of the street. I live close to Dunhua. Dunhua Nanlu, Dunhua South Road, I have to think of the English. And in the middle of that road are beautiful trees. I love trees that line streets. So anyway, there are lots of trees on this street. And oh boy, they had lots of tasty leaves for this little bug called the ermine moth. And they loved those particular tree leaves, not the trees, not the barks or the branches, but the leaves themselves. So if you're a favorite meal, someone's going to eat you and eat a lot of you. I don't know the ermine moth. Do you know which moth that is?
I'm not familiar with that particular species, but of course a moth is kind of a bug that's like an insect. It's kind of shorter and has different kinds of antenna on it. Moths, they say they fly into fires and stuff like that.
They like the light.
They like light indeed. So in this case, this particular moth came from their caterpillars, and the caterpillars would spin these webs and cover everything. And those moth caterpillars were born, or once they were born, they spun gigantic webs around the trees,
wow.
I guess to protect their meal so that no one else would get those tasty leaves. These are not small webs or medium-sized webs or even big webs, but they're huge. They're gigantic.
They're like giants.
That's what gigantic means.
Yeah.
They're really, really huge. So that sort of explains why this street in Rotterdam was covered in caterpillars' webs.
Cool. So one mystery is solved. Remember, this is Animal Planet Show, and they're going to give us several really weird things about nature. So we understand why this street is just entirely covered with webs now. But can Ray Barnett explain why the caterpillars concealed everything else on the street as well? Yeah. Can he answer that question is what we're saying. If you conceal something, guys, it means you hide something. We'll often use this verb when we talk about crime and say that the criminal concealed his weapon or concealed his plan to rob the bank. So you hide something when you conceal it.
Very good. So our writer here has told us the reason why the caterpillars spin webs around the trees, but we don't really know why they spun the webs around benches and cars and stuff like that. If you want to find out, hey, you're going to have to tune into this program yourself. Now, let's move on now to the third and final paragraph. It says, these harmless caterpillars are more of a nuisance than anything else, but the next creature inspires true terror. So we're doing a transition here from talking about caterpillars to talking about our next creature here.
Uh-huh.
We're describing the caterpillars as being a nuisance.
Yeah.
A nuisance is just something very bothersome. You don't want it around because it's a big pain in the butt. So a nuisance could be used to describe a situation or a person. Oh, I hate Lori's boy. He's such a nuisance. He's so naughty. I don't want him to come over ever.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's hard when you have to run into things or people who are a nuisance. So it's more of a nuisance than anything else. It doesn't hurt anybody. It's just kind of a pain. But the next creature inspires true terror. Mm. If you inspire something, you create that situation so someone does feel terror. So this particular creature is nicknamed the tongue biter. That sounds terrible. And we're describing this little creature as a creepy crawly, and it's actually an isopod. A creepy crawly is usually a term we use for kind of creepy bugs or spiders or things that make us go, ooh!
Yeah, I wish I knew how to say isopod in Chinese because it's very difficult to explain it in English, but it's basically an order of crustaceans or creatures that are like lice or other kinds of parasites or something like that.
I'm seeing if my little dictionary has isopod.
Oh, yeah, you can look that up here and maybe find the Chinese. I don't know. But
I'm looking
in any case,
really fast.
They don't sound like they're very friendly creatures.
Can you read those characters?
I guess it's a dong zu lei, okay, whatever that is. That's an isopod. Yeah, pod means foot there, so there you go. That's what an isopod is. And like something out of a nightmare, it swims inside the gills of a fish and finds its way into the fish's mouth.
Yuck.
Ugh, gross.
Gross.
I don't want to see that. So it's like something out of a nightmare. A nightmare, of course, is a bad dream, and my goodness, sometimes we dream about monsters and other creepy crawlies like spiders and worms and stuff like
Yuck.
That. So this sounds like a very gross and disgusting kind of little creature.
Yeah, sometimes we'll say, ooh, it creeps me out. It creeps me out. It grosses me out.
Disgusting.
A gill is kind of the part of the fish that helps them breathe, right?
Yeah, it's on the side of their heads, the gills, one on each side, and they kind of move them back and forth. Out
like fans or something when they're breathing.
That's how fish breathe. Uh-huh. And somehow these particular creatures, this tongue biter,
gross,
actually gets into the gills and then from the gills finds its way or manages to get into the fish's mouth, which is bad because, as you know, fish, well, they got fins and stuff, but they don't have anything that could hold a toothbrush. So they can't brush their teeth and get these things out of their mouth. They're kind of stuck with these things in their mouth.
They don't have little hands.
They don't.
They can pull it out. Well, there's a lady named Donna Corley from London in the United Kingdom. She recalls or remembers the day she discovered one of these bizarre or crazy weird creatures staring back at her from the inside of a fish's mouth. Ugh. I'm not sure how she saw this or where the fish was when she saw the tongue biter inside the fish's mouth, but she remembers it. If you recall something, you remember something that happened earlier, and sometimes you're telling somebody about it. She said, I was absolutely or completely shocked. Wah, I would be grossed out, that's for sure. Indeed, what it does after it enters the fish's mouth is bound to leave you speechless. We're not going to tell you what the fish or the tongue biter does. I think he probably bites the tongue, but he must do something else. If something's bound to happen, it means it's most likely to happen or most likely is going to take place.
Right. Someone warned me, hey, if you go to Taiwan, you're bound to stay there for many years because it is such a paradise there.
It's true.
We've all been here for many years. But in any case here, she looked inside the fish's mouth, and I can imagine she probably saw something pretty gross. But who knows? Maybe that little isopod got in there and carved a likeness of the Virgin Mary inside the fish's mouth or something like that. Who knows? I kind of doubt it. But in any case, I'm guessing that it was probably something pretty gross. And, of course, if you saw something like that, it would leave you speechless. You just don't know what to say.
If something leaves you speechless, you're so shocked that it's almost like your mouth gets stuck or frozen and you can't even think of what to say. It's so awful or so surprising, so shocking. We don't know exactly what this lady saw. You'll have to tune in to Animal Planet to check it out. Right now, guys, we're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher.
好，那谈到这边发生的很奇怪的事，就是呢，那种毛毛虫的网竟然 整个覆盖了一条街，还有街上所有的东西，这真的是非常奇怪。那这些科学家们呢，也要想想，哎，究竟是如何？那有一个解释，他这边就说了，从 it appears that appears 这个代表好像、似乎。那我们知道，讲一件事情似乎是怎么样？如果你要谈的这件事情很长很多，那你当然会用 it 先当虚主词 ，it appears， 然后后面加一个 that 子句，也就是说后面这些事情谈的，哎，好像是这样。那这边谈的好像是什么？哦，就是说啊，这个街道上沿途的树，它的叶子呢，好像呢是嫦娥最爱的食物。所以这边的关键呢，其实是一种叫做 ermine moth， 也就是嫦娥。那它们呢，这种幼虫一旦出生，就会吐丝，然后就会把这个树木给包住了。不过，尽管知道这个答案，那为什么其他东西，街上的东西也要包住呢？这就是一个非常奇怪的现象。好，那么接下来呢，我们再来看刚刚说到的第一个是在荷兰的鹿特丹，然后呢，接下来这一段，哎，要提的不是毛毛虫，他说到啊，接下来的生物呢，可能让你真的很害怕。不过他提到这个让你害怕的东西哦，跟前面这个毛毛虫来比的话，他说毛毛虫是什么呢？ More of a nuisance than anything else。好，我们看一下这个句型啊， more of B than A， 与其说它是 A， 还不如说它是 B。 所以呢，谈毛毛虫，你说啊，它其实就是一个 nuisance， 也就是令人讨厌的东西。好， more of， 当然有时候这个 of 没有写，那如果没有写 of 的话，这个句型与其说 A 不如说是 B， 就不一定是名词咯，你可以是形容词。那我们再举一个例子好了，比如说你讲，哎，It was more of a request than an order. 这个听起来啊，比较像是个 request， 哎，是要求而不是命令啊，是他希望你怎么样，而不是一个命令的口吻。好了，那我们再来继续下面往下看，会让你这么恐惧的，哎，这是一种叫做咬舌者。咬舌者这个名字，其实呢，它是一种动物。他说它是一个等足目动物 isopod。 好咯，这些字或许我们并不熟悉，不过没有关系，我们要看的是它怎么样的可怕。原来呢，它呢会钻到游到那个鱼的鳃里面，然后想办法到鱼的嘴巴。那甚至于有一个这个科学家呢，他回想到说，诶，他这个这种古怪的生物，它从鱼嘴巴里面，然后回瞪它的时候，把它给吓坏了。好，当然这就是第二个令人奇异的、感到惊异的大自然现象。好，我们今天节目就到此结束，下次见。
Okay, guys, that's just day one of our Animal Planet unit. We're going to come back in our next program and continue talking about some wonderfully weird things you can find in nature. Please join us then. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.